Fiona Forbes. Thanks to their youthful animation and candid on-air repartee, so wrote the National Post, they came to prominence in this market when from 1997 to 2002 they co-hosted Daytime on Rogers, which became Urban Rush on Shaw Cable 4. From 2002 until they were unceremoniously dumped this spring, they co-hosted City TV's Breakfast Television. They returned to Shaw and Urban Rush this Monday, the 20th of September, bringing their unique and one-of-a-kind chemistry to television screens in the Lower Mainland at least 37 times a day. Welcome to the commentary.ca, the former and future hosts of Urban Rush on Shaw, Michael Eckford and Fiona Forbes. Good afternoon, Ms. Forbes and Mr. Eckford.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk about what the new show and what you guys will do on Monday in a bit, but I wanted to start off with who was it and when was it, and who was it that was responsible for putting the both of you together as a team?
Oh, a fellow by the name of Manuel Fonseca. When we first started at what was Daytime when it first started, and he saw something, I guess, and thought we'd work well together, the two of us. So he just stuck us together on air, and I guess it sort of worked.
Luckily, in the beginning, nobody was watching us, and I guess the producer, Manuel, recognized that chemistry is a thing that grows, and he saw the early stages of it. So it did grow, and apparently we have it.
Now, there were other hosts on Daytime before?
Yeah, when it first started, it was a four-host system because it was for no money, honey. There was no cash involved, so it was an all-volunteer thing. So they had to have four hosts just so that people could actually have a reasonable opportunity to
have another job.
To have another job and earn some money.
And then what happened to the other two?
Well, it started with the four of us. I hosted it with another fellow, Buzz Bishop, who is still on Z95.3, and Michael hosted the other end of the week with a woman named Deborah Donahue, a local actress. And the producers just decided Michael and I had the best chemistry together, basically.
Really, we did reality television before anybody else
did. It was like Survivor, and Michael and I voted the other ones off. No, Buzz actually left because he was busy with his radio stuff, and then Mike and I were left holding the torches, I guess.
Now, wait a second. Are you saying that I got this job by default because another guy quit?
No.
That is actually the way it happened, so that's all right.
So how do you explain then this obvious chemistry that the both of you have, and you guys have a certain level of comfort? I mean,
well, now we have the definite comfort thing because we've known each other for going on 9 years. But I don't know. I guess it's just when you meet a friend and you click right away.
Yeah.
And chemistry is one of those things that I think, you know, everybody tries to develop in television if they're pairing people up. And it's not something you can explain or create. And
yeah.
It is just like friendships. You know, you just have it or you don't. Or you get along or you won't.
And in a way, I think that's what the original producer, Manuel, saw, too. Because we had four hosts and Fiona and I didn't work together for the first 4 or 5 months, we just became friends first, right? So he saw this friendship developing and thought, well, if they're friends off air, let's see how it works on air. So I guess the friendship was probably there before the working relationship even.
Yeah.
Is there anything that the two of you don't do together?
Sleep
yes.
together, Joe?
Yeah.
No, you know what?
Everyone wants to know this because they think that you guys are married or...
I know.
You know, it's funny. We still get questions like someone I met over the weekend asked, do you and Michael still live together? And I started howling because I said, you know, we've never lived together. We're, you know, as simple as it may sound, we're really just good friends. And no, we've never slept together. But we do a lot together because over the years we've developed the same circle of friends and we hang out all the time. And it's hilarious when people see us together in public because they point and they say, you guys really do hang out. And we really do hang out.
It's like people have this perception of people they see on television that if there is a friendship there, you know, they tease each other and they look like they're getting along.
They must hate each other.
But they must either hate each other or they must be sleeping with each other, one of the two. And with us, it's the complete opposite. We're not sleeping together and we do actually like each other.
Now, who are some of the broadcasters or otherwise, some of the people that you guys look up to or with whom you're influenced by?
Oh, I think hugely for me is my father is family friends with Vicky Gabbro. So I met Vicky when I was fairly young, and she is by far and away probably the greatest interviewer that we have in this country, and just a wonderful woman to boot. So she's not only been influential to me, but to Fiona and I as well. You know, she really took us under her wing at a certain stage of our career and gave us a lot of encouragement and helpful little pointers and stuff when we would run into her, have lunches with her, and things like that. So she's been a huge influence for me.
Yeah, I'd have to say the same, Vicky Gabbro, but also just in general, the broadcasting community at large in Vancouver is so supportive of people when you want to get started. And when Michael and I both wanted to get started, we were told to just phone a TV station and ask if you can hang around. And ironically, I phoned what's now City TV. In the past, it was CKVU, and Suzette Myers was working there at the time, along with Norma Wick and Simi Sarah, who ended up being one of our co-hosts on Breakfast Television. Everyone, when I went in for student days, did nothing but help me out and were so supportive. And it was just really nice. And Michael and I have always had a pact that if any students ever phone us, we've always given them our time, because it was so beneficial. And it's what made both of us know that we were going in the right direction with our careers.
And once we'd started, too, on cable, you know, I mean, the joy of daytime and then Urban Rush when it first started is that you have no network affiliation. So there aren't people that are in direct competition with what you're trying to do. So you get to have everybody on. So we could have people from any station in Vancouver, you know, whether they were news people or entertainment reporters or whoever, we could have them on the show and just have a good time with them and have a friendship that wasn't affected by direct competition. So I think that made a big difference, too, is people really felt like
they got to know everyone.
Yeah, and they could support us without feeling like, you know, we were stepping on any toes or anything.
Now, when you two were left go by City TV, was there any thought of either of you making a go at another job without the other?
Oh, and by the way, it wasn't unceremoniously. There was like a band piping us out the door. There was all kinds of stuff.
Was there a thought? Yes, of course, because they fired me first and waited a week till they fired Michael. So I was left a week in panic thinking of all sorts of things to do with my career. And of course, I think Michael and I both are talented on our own, but better together. So the thought was there. But we're just both really glad that it worked out, that we could stick together.
Well, and it was weird, too, because when we started looking at other job options and stuff, and there was a few that we were lucky enough to be able to choose from, they all wanted both of us together. And I think it goes back to chemistry. You know, it's a fairly rare thing to find on television, and people recognized and
it's something that it's our signature, so when people think of one of us, they think of both of us, which is a huge compliment.
We cannot escape.
Yeah, I think both of us would have been okay on our own, but we have so much fun working together that it's just the better option, I think.
Well, I think people can see that, too. You know, when they're thinking about hiring people, they see that, you know, in our case, anyway, a lot of times two is better than one, just because we have more fun. You know, we know how to goad each other to that next level of idiocy that seems to work.
And you're now being paid by Shaw, I suppose, right? Not as
we were before we left as well. And
oh, really?
This is a misconception that a lot of people have left over from the sort of cable days. The playing field is pretty even, you know, not just in terms of what they pay for on-air positions and stuff, but in terms of their camera people and their editors and their producers and stuff. You know, we would put up the team we have here against anybody that, you know, we'd ever worked with on any other channel or any other production team in the city, and that's because they basically get paid the same, they work the same sort of hours, and they work exactly the same kind of show. So it's not like the old days where, you know, cable automatically meant, you know, that it was sort of a community
action. City council.
Yeah, it's not a city council operation anymore.
Yeah.
Now, are you doing the show from a new studio, or...
Not
well,
quite
right
yet.
Right now, Monday, this coming Monday, September 20th, is our first show, and we were hoping to launch the show from the new studios in Cole Harbour. The Shaw Tower in Cole Harbour, but it unfortunately is not ready yet. So we're happily still in the basement in what we call Wayne's World, in the basement of the Shaw Tower in Burnaby, where it was our studio for 5.5 years before we left. So we'll be sitting in the same spots just for a couple of months until the construction's completed at the Shaw Tower in Cole Harbour. But we just got our first chance to look at the studio, and it is absolutely, it's top-notch. It is the most amazing television studio I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it will... It'll put paid, I think, to a lot of people's perceptions of what a community station is now. Like, this is... we've worked and toured through a lot of television studios in the last few years, and this place is, bar none, the best facility in Vancouver in terms of the equipment that they're putting in there, the location, just everything. It's absolutely...
The view's not too shabby.
The irony is ridiculous. I mean, this is
we're the cable kids.
We're the cable kids.
We're going to have the money studio in town, which is It's just hilarious to us.
Now, compared to like other communities or other markets, how special is Shaw in serving this community?
Well, I think that Shaw does a really good job. It has in the past, and it will continue to reflect Vancouver. You know, reflect everything from art to entertainment, what's going on, and I just think that they do a really good job of showing people what's going on in their city, and we're planning to continue doing that.
Well, that's always been their thing. I mean, community television is for a purpose. It's to serve the community and show people what's going on in the city around them. And it's also happens to be just a huge gap in the market in Vancouver right now. You know, there's no one that's really talking to local actors a lot and local musicians. And
yeah,
and
there's a lot of news, but there's not a lot of entertainment or
yeah,
art.
There's just, and a lot of it's for a very practical reason. I mean, just financially, a lot of these stations just can't afford to do that much of it, whereas Shaw's in a much different position. You know, they can afford, not only afford to, but you know, their whole job and their reason for being is to make sure that they're doing those things and that they're covering what's going on in their community.
We're talking with Fiona Forbes and Michael Eckford, the hosts of Shaw's Urban Rush, which they'll debut once again on Monday. Let's talk about your background. You never went to BCIT or anything like that, did you?
I did.
I tried. They wouldn't let me.
Oh, really?
No, I did. I actually went to UBC, and I have a fantastic degree I could bore you with in history and political science.
Right.
If you care to listen, but...
Careful, Joe, she will.
Well, no, I am taking political science.
Oh, perfect.
Well, you probably know all about the Cuban Missile Crisis, just like I do.
Right.
But I was going to go to law school. That was my plan, and I had a little bit of a problem with shyness, being that I couldn't talk to strangers.
Uh-huh.
And my dad, who was a lawyer and an actor, told me that it would probably, well, I'd make a horrible lawyer unless I could talk to people. So I went to, he recommended that I take a broadcasting course, which I did, and I ended up going to BCIT part-time at night. I didn't do the full program because I ended up getting this job, ironically, again, before I finished the full program at BCIT. But, yeah, I learned a lot there.
She's a dropout, is what she's saying. She dropped out. She's a quitter.
Well, when you drop out and get a job, it's kind of okay.
Yeah. You always go back to get your schooling after.
Well, yeah, you know.
My family don't believe in no schooling. It spoils the children.
Mike's the dropout.
Yeah, I'm the dropout. I actually went to Columbia Academy. And I went into their video production program, which, because I originally thought that I wanted to be a camera person or an editor and get in on that end. So I actually completed their video production, which I found extremely useful, and I still find extremely useful, actually. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, weren't wasn't your family in the journalism profession?
Yeah, my big brother's in radio. He works for CBC in Ottawa, and he's been in radio since he was in university, so he's got to be going on almost 15 years now in the radio business.
Wow, you guys are old.
Yes, we are getting quite old now, actually. It's quite frightening. And my stepfather's dad was in the media business as well. He was one of the editors of the Vancouver Sun back in the day, owner-editor.
So did you ever, I guess when you were a kid, you never thought, either of you, that you were going to go into television? And
no, not at all. It was the furthest thing from my mind because everybody in my family were actors, and I was the shy one in the corner, you know, in the fetal position that wouldn't that would have to be dragged out to do anything.
The fetal position's hot.
It is. No, I had no thought of it. It was purely by accident, and it was by accident I ended up on live television hosting a show to get over being shy, which is, you know, the weirdest position to put yourself in, but, you know, people always say to face your fears, and I guess I did. But no, I never thought I would get into this business, and I sure am glad that it was the happy accident that turned out to be my career.
And it was always around for me, you know, like it was sort of always a topic of conversation around the house.
Did you play radio in your basement?
Well, my brother played radio, and I watched and went, radio people are listening. But it was sort of always there, you know. I mean, my brother's almost 4 years older than me. So when he was first getting into radio, I was still in high school, you know, in sort of grade 9, grade 10 kind of thing. So it had a huge influence on what I planned to do and what I hoped to do because I just, you know, there was a certain magic to watching him go into a radio studio and do a radio show, you know, and he did a phone-in show for a little while and things like that. So, you know, to watch him interact with people, and he's so good at it, really sort of sparked the interest for me, I guess. So I was fairly young. I was like sort of 16, 17 when I originally thought about it. But then I didn't start until I was 25 because I was a bit of an unmotivated child.
Now, Fiona talked about facing fears. I guess I read somewhere that you were once claustrophobic and shy, and you overcome that by learning how to scuba dive.
Oh, yeah.
Is that advice?
afraid of spiders.
Oh.
And there's a rule. Actually, there's two things I'm still afraid of that I've refused to face. Although I recommend it as good advice. I'm afraid of spiders
and
mascots. I have such an irrational fear of mascots. When we had Blue, the cute little stuffed dog from Blue's Clues on Urban Rush
she
a couple years
him.
Ago, I booted it.
She kicked him. Not only that, but she took a swing at Ronald McDonald when he came on the show, too.
I warned them both that if they came close to me, I would have, like, some sort of weird panic attack and lunge at them, and I'm not joking. And no, I'm not going to face my fear of mascots, although the Sea Fox caught wind of the fact that I'm afraid of mascots, and every time I see it, it comes to hug me.
Yeah, well, he says hug. I say different things.
But no, facing your fears is a good thing to do, and someday, yeah, I'm sure I'll be friends with a tarantula or something.
And you know what? People ask us all the time whether, you know, we get nervous and scared and stuff before we do a show, because we've always done live television. And the answer to that is, hell yeah.
Yeah, and that's what makes it fun.
It's always scary, right? I mean, you never lose that fear, and that fear is part of what gives you energy to, you know, look animated and bring that energy on to the show and onto the screen and stuff is, you know, it's not just the fact that you're really excited to do the show, it's that you're scared spitless when you're doing it. So it works.
Now, your predecessors, they started hosting the show at taping the show and airing it in prime time at 5. Are you going to be doing that, or are you going to be doing it live now?
We're going to be doing the same thing that they did, which is taping it around noonish, and then the original airing every day will be at 5 o'clock.
And can we expect sort of the same thing as before, or like will you have Paul Myers and Patrick Malia and Darren Parkman on, or?
Paul, the movie guys are still going to be part of everything, and you know, everything is, when you start all over again, everything sort of gets put into the mix, and you sort of figure out what works and what doesn't. So we're still really in the thick of that process, and it'll carry over a little bit onto air as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you gotta, sometimes you just gotta try things and see how they work. So, you know, we're gonna bring a lot of different segments into what we're gonna do, and we're gonna do things, of course, in a pretty fundamentally different way, but, you know, there'll still be a lot of the things that really worked on the other show as well, because when things work, you know, the movie
guys... Yeah, a lot of the same elements.
The movie guys work, so, you know, you want to stick with that kind of stuff when it seems to get its own momentum.
And so that starts Monday at 5 then?
Yeah. Monday at 5, that'll be the first airing, man. I'm going to flop sweats whenever
mm-hmm.
I think about it.
Scared spitless is my friend.
And then they'll run that, I guess...
Probably 49 times.
37 times? Yeah, something like that. It goes, let me think, I think six airings in a 24-hour
Mike and
period.
I always had the saying for when we are on Urban Rush because of the fact that it repeats all day long.
If you're watching, we're on!
Yeah. Can we talk about City TV and
oh, for sure.
That experience? What happened there? Was it because Moses had left that?
Well, it's one of those things that, with 2020 hindsight, I guess we could name a lot of reasons why it happened. At the time, we pretty much had no idea except for the fact that we got fired. But the company itself is going through a huge corporate change, and yes, Moses Neimer was a part of that, and so were we.
Yeah, it was a really interesting experience, actually, in terms of, you know, learning a lot about the business of television when you're doing it. Because you could feel that sort of fundamental change in direction that they were making come all the way through the company, you know, down to our level, pretty much immediately when they started doing it. And they just decided that their way to succeed in this market was to do a little bit more of a news show and do something that was a little more mm-hmm. reflective of the show that has been so successful in Toronto, which is Breakfast Television in Toronto. So they really wanted to sort of brand the format that they had created in Toronto and
franchise.
Yeah, and franchise that into this market. And, you know, to their credit, they recognized that Fiona and I weren't all that comfortable in that format, and that wasn't necessarily playing to our strengths. So they made a change that both of us, especially now, are pretty thankful for.
So I remember on your last episode of Urban Rush, Terry David Mulligan said that they would welcome you for 3 or 4 minutes and then you'd be left to your own devices. Do you look back at the City TV experience with any bitterness at all? Or
not at all, because the end it was really fun, and the end result is that Michael and I met a lot of great people. Our crew that worked on Breakfast Television has been in the business for a couple of decades or three, and they were all amazing. So not only did we learn a ton, we had a ton of fun as well. And you know what? Getting up that early in the morning, wasn't the best thing in the world, but that I wouldn't change the experience of doing breakfast television for anything.
Well, we were talking to Chris Haddock, actually, yesterday, who's the showrunner for Da Vinci's Inquest. He's a creator and writer. And he went down, I don't know if some people are familiar with this, but he went down to the States last year to do a show called The Handler with Joey Pantoliano.
Yeah.
Joey Pants. And basically got his ass summarily handed to him by the U.S. networks. And he said the big realization that he had was how good he had it up here doing Da Vinci's Inquest and the creative freedom that he had that he wasn't allowed to exercise there. And we feel almost exactly the same way about this whole thing. You know, we...
Yeah, our situation was pretty much parallel.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of creative experience when we were... or a lot of creative input when we were at City TV. And to come back to a place and gain all that experience that we did in the last couple of years and work with the amazing people that we did when we were at City and be able to take it to a place where we get a lot more creative freedom and where there's not the same sort of pressures is just a, I mean, already, you know, we've been doing it for 2 weeks, and my God, it's so much fun.
So you don't feel like you're going back or
not at all, because...
No, wait till you see the new studio.
Wait till you see the new studio, you know what I mean? And yes, we are going back in the sense we're going back to a great place to work, which is why we made the decision to come back.
But it's not the same show.
It's not the same show, and when we have our new studios, it's going to be absolutely incredible. Like, it's our dream come true as far as the new studio goes.
Well, and Russell and Aaron and the producers on Urban Rush, while we were at City, getting experience and doing things in a different way for us, they were doing the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were really pushing the show forward and making it look a lot more polished and bringing a real sheen to the show that it might not have had when Fiona and I were here originally. And so to come back to that now and have those producers that are still here have that experience and also to have Russell and Aaron's input, I think has a big effect on how good the show looks and will look and how it's perceived by the public as well.
Now, we've got a few minutes here left. It still must be a thrill whenever you're at a grocery store or you're walking down the street to have people recognize you.
Oh, sure.
It's really nice. You know, sometimes it is weird, but when people come up to you and they recognize you, they come up to you to say something nice about what you do.
Yeah.
And it would be nice if we lived in a world where everybody got that kind of feedback, but it's amazing and bizarre at the same time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I remember when I was in construction and nobody ever said, hey, nice house you built over there, buddy. You did a good job on that. I especially like the portico. Lovely stuff.
So, yeah, you don't get that feedback.
Yeah, just to have people come up and you know, I think our favorite thing, both of us, is when people, there's two things that happen. Sometimes people think that you're a friend that they met at a party a couple of weeks ago, and I love that because it just...
It shows you've broken down the wall and they feel like they actually know us.
Yeah, like
they have fun with us.
Yeah, like they met you and you know, all those other things. And at the same time, of course, it's a little bit strange, but it's a real, you know, it's a huge compliment to what we do because really what we do on air... It's who we are. It's exactly
my
know,
other
we're
favorite
no
thing is when people just point at us and laugh because that means they think we're funny.
We think we're not sure. Either that or our flies are open a lot. One of the two.
And also to have people root for you, I guess.
Yeah.
Within and without the business, it must be.
Yeah, we've received huge support. You know, when we left City TV, a lot of people didn't know why because there wasn't really a press release about the why. Or people thought we were on vacation, and now that people have found out that we're coming back to TV where they can see us and hang out with us again, strangers are excited, and yes, we go back to it being weird, but it's so great.
Yeah, it's going to be I don't know, I can't even explain it. You know, it's such a nice feeling to go through an experience like we did and get the opportunity to come back and do something that you enjoy so much. You know, we sit here with our producers every day, and all we do...
It's like a playground.
We just laugh. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all we do. I don't know how to explain it other than that. You know, it's like going to the greatest place in the world to work every day, and it's so much fun to come in here. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Michael and Fiona, thanks again for talking with us, and do break a leg on Monday.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it very much.
I know I'm not alone, but in this city, at least, to when people wish you success and admit that it's kind of nice to have you guys back again. I love the first 10-15 minutes that you guys do at the top of the show. I think that's probably the funniest.
Oh, thank you. We're looking forward to it.